Romans 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, To whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen.
Praise the Lord, brothers. Deacon Thomas Farr, and you're listening to Issues Christian Men Talk, as well as our newest episode this evening. And we're going to be hearing this online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. or you get the link on your phone, or you follow the link on our Facebook page, at Issues Christian Men's Talk, our Facebook page. We'd like to thank you for joining us. All the brothers who called in at 646-668-2636. Thank you. Appreciate you spending time with us listening in. If you'd like to join the conversation, press 1 on your keypad. We can bring you in. We'll see you on the switchboard. Again, we appreciate you. Amen. So today we're going to talk a little bit about following the theme of discipleship, of fellowship. We're going to talk about what are the commandments of Christ. If Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. The commandments of Christ are not just a to-do list. They are an invitation to a relationship with God himself. And what are those commandments? So I'm going to touch on a couple of them for your education. And I'll give you some scriptures to also look at what Christ is calling us, as men of God, to live obedient to him. I think that's the biggest piece that we're going to take away from this segment is it's about obedience to Christ through his Holy Spirit and obedience to his word. The word and the spirit is where we develop our character, who we are in God. If we stand and say that we are men of God, the Holy Spirit is the witness, the word is our direction, our blueprint, and our guide. Amen? So I'm going to give a couple of scriptures, a couple of insights, talking about this, that you might be encouraged. Again, this is Christian Minnesota. We just want to be able to encourage, challenge, and hold each other accountable in who we are in Christ Jesus and what God has called us to do and be as husbands, fathers, and sons. And as you know, we have more in common than we are different. And the word of God is our blueprint. That we do not compare ourselves to each other. We don't compare ourselves to our pastors. We don't compare ourselves to any other human created being. But we look at ourselves and compare ourselves to the word of God to measure where we are in our spiritual growth, our sanctification, and our development into who he created us to be in him. Amen? I'm saying it all begins with the conversion and salvation to be born again and have the Holy Spirit living within you. Amen? These are the assurances. This is the confidence that we have as men of God. Amen. Let me open with prayer. We'll get right to the conversation again. I trust that you may have a paper, pencil or something, a piece of paper, write down some of the scripture references and some of the insights I want to share. So I encourage you to go into the word, study the word for yourself, and then apply that word as the Spirit leads you. Let us pray. Father God, first of all, I just want to say thank you, God. I thank you for all that you are and all that you do, God. I thank you for salvation today. I thank you, God, for keeping me and my children, Lord God. Well, I thank you for the healing, oh God, for those in my family, oh God, for the healing you have provided in the families and the lives of the men that are listening today, oh God. Father, we know, God, that you are worthy, oh God. I humbly come before you confessing that I am a sinner in need of your guidance and your direction. I thank you for salvation today, God. I thank you for what you've done in my life. I thank you for what you've done in the lives of my brothers, oh God, that you have drawn them unto yourself. So we continue to pray, oh God. Father, we pray for friends and family today who are struggling with secret sins, secret shame, that life and issues that they're dealing with are trying to draw them away from you. But Father, we know that you are there for them, that you will never leave them forsaken. So I pray today, God, for the covering of my brothers. I pray for their repentance, for them coming to you as children, asking God for your forgiveness. So, Father, we pray for now today for reconciliation of relationships, oh God. Father, we pray for those of God who are struggling in the midst of addictions, oh God. We're praying for those behind prison walls, God. We're praying for those with physical illness, God. We're praying for those who have family members that are in hospitals and rehabs and going through physical therapy, oh God. All those that are trying to find a way back from some kind of illness or sickness. So we thank you, God, for what you're doing in the life. Continue to strengthen the families, oh God. Those who might be divided on the bedside, the sick relatives, God, we're praying for their strength and confidence that you can still do what you can and will. Still do miracles. But in all this, God, we say, let your will be done. thank you. We give you all honor and glory. And we thank you in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, gentlemen. So today we're going to start off a little bit. We're going to talk about what, when a leader, what it means to be a man, as a husband, father, and son. And some of the, I won't say qualifications, but these are some of the things that we have to search about who we are in Christ Jesus. As men, as husbands and fathers, if we lack discipline, the Lord will help, if we lack discipline in our life, or we lack a godly character, God will provide a way to help our character. God will provide learning, experiences, and circumstances to help us grow in Him. The first he must be able to submit to Him, submit to His word, and how we grow in response to life issues. Because we're all going to deal with life at every day. Things are going to come at you, but it's not that you won't be tested or tried or tempted. It's how do you respond? Do you respond in the way that God is now developing and making you stronger? Amen? And again, we overcome, and we have overcome. And then it's a testimony you can share with another brother to encourage him along the way. Amen? The body of Christ is going to develop, if the body of Christ, the church, our local church, the universal church, those who are believers, is going to be developed in character through the dealings of God, then the men must be first to allow God to change their character. I say this a lot, it's your Christian ministry, I believe it in my heart. If we allow God to change us as men, husbands and fathers, we can lead in the church, in the home, in the community to change the direction of the culture, to be able to influence the direction of the culture. Not to say that everyone's going to be saved and we're going to solve all the issues of sin in the world, but we'll be able to draw those to us, we'll be able to encourage one another, we'll be able to hold each other accountable in the things of God. So it's about our character. Amen? Because you understand that the character is that's the seat. That's where our moral beings, our morality is rooted in our character. We believe what we believe and why we believe it. We live in obedience to what God says, no matter what culture says, how we were raised, what we heard, and what we think right and wrong is. It's the word of God that determines our character and our moral, I'm going to say moral platform. Where do we stand on the issues of life? Because all these issues we're dealing with, even now in this 21st century in 2023, these are not new to God. These sins have been with mankind since the beginning, since the fall, before the flood, and after the flood. So none of what the enemy is doing and the sin that's in the world is nothing new to it, but us as the people of God, as a remnant of believers, as a remnant of the human race, as true believers in the God that created us all and created everything, we have to stand for truth. It's as simple as that. And character is the action of an individual when under pressure. Again, you never know who you are until the pressure hits. I want to share something. It's not my testimony. It's a testimony of a brother I know who I've been friends with for years, served with, and worked with in ministry. You know, he had a circumstance and a situation. One of his children was in a severe accident. And been dealing with a lot of rehab and things that she was injured. Let me say it like this. She's injured. She's in a rehab. And she's just, in the last couple of months, they've been looking for signs of a healer. She had brain damage, some other damage to her body, and she's coming back and through. But his faith, believing that God can do miracles, that God can do a thing different than the prognosis that's given, and continue to pray and be faithful. And even in that, there's other issues that have to be dealt with that he's able to stand as a man of God and be fill the gap and the void that was made, the cause of the circumstances of this accident, and now to be able to still lead his family. Just to say that this is who we are to be and what our character is when the pressure comes. Because I think of what pressure is and then what's going to come out of us. I think of this brother a lot. Amen? So I just wanted to share that with you. Again, we're talking about what it means the qualification, I won't say the qualification, but these are the marks and the signs of a man of God as a husband, father, and son. Amen? Again, we're talking about a man who becomes a disciple of Christ, a man who is willing to serve, a man that's willing to learn, a man that is teachable, a man that is submissive to authority inside the church and outside the church. Humility, being forgiven, able to forgive himself and others, to be persistent and courageous in those things, taking on the issues of life emotionally, mentally, and physically in a courageous manner, that sometimes as men, husbands and fathers, we have to stand in the gap. We have to be watching on that wall, and are we willing to do that? Our character, again, being trustworthy and responsible. And again, having discernment and wisdom to be able to use our time wisely. Amen? So these are just some of the things that I want to encourage you in, as in the hearing of your ears and what you're hearing me say today, to encourage you those things and where you are in those different aspects of your life right now, in your Christian walk, as of the day that you're hearing this, and where do you aspire to be? Are you pursuing to be more like Christ in these areas? And that's a challenge for every one of us, from the pastor to the brother who just got saved last weekend. Amen? So I just wanted to encourage you in that. Amen? And then I just wanted to share a couple of things today as we're talking about the commandments of God. Again, we're talking about Jesus saying, if you love me, keep my commandments. And what these commandments are, there's a lot of them in Scripture. A lot of them are scriptures that you may or may not know. I want to touch on about four or five of them just to get us started. We're going to continue this conversation in upcoming episodes. But then I challenge you to search the scriptures. What are the commandments that Jesus has given us in the New Testament? Because I know we get folks talk about we're saved by grace and not by the law. And we don't have to keep the commandments. But I say this to you. Study your Bible. You can start with the Ten Commandments given to Moses, and see how Christ spoke of those same commandments as direction and guidance of who we are as Christians, as believers, to be Christ-like, to be changed and convert in our conversion to be more like him. Because he's followed up in a lot of those Ten Commandments on how we should live here and as believers who are living by faith and by grace. So it's not the works, but these are the works that should follow our conversion to salvation. Amen? Amen. Yeah, listen, it's just Christian Men Talking. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. And I pray that something to say today would encourage you in your walk, seek you, or point you to the word. Again, brothers, I encourage you to have something to write down, some scriptures as we go through some of these, and just to share. Because even in the midst, when we're talking about John 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I want to point you to also to Psalms 103, verse 18. And then I want to give you 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. I want to give you 1 John chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. I want to give you 1 John chapter 5, verse number 3. 2 John chapter 6, I believe it is. And I just want to give those into your hearing that you might study and seek what God has called us. These are the commandments. These are the things that Jesus is talking about. If we love him, we obey him. That's the biggest thing I got out of reading the scriptures as we studied and talked about these is obedience. All we have a heart and a mind to be obedient to Christ, to live obedient to Christ. Amen? So I think it's very important that we, as men of God, we continue to press in. And one of the other scriptures I was giving you, I had to check it real quick because I was looking at something else. 2 John, verse 6. Amen? So I just want to give you those as a kicking off point to what we're going to be talking about today. Amen? So we're going to go in for a couple. Because, again, what are the commandments of God? What are the commandments that Jesus has given us in his word to be able to fulfill the purpose and plan that he has for us? Amen? So I'm going to start with, what did Jesus say? we look at the, I'm going to look at the book of Matthew. I'm going to give a couple out of the book of Matthew. And again, in follow-up episodes and other settings, we're going to talk about throughout the New Testament. But I want to talk, I want to start in Matthew because I look at Matthew, I look at the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5 and 6 and 7, and it starts there on what God has called us to be. He started, this is his first sermon, and he began to stand and preach before the people. And this gives, I think this gives us a framework, a blueprint on where our heart and our minds and our life is going. So I want to share a couple of those again, and then I invite you to join us again in follow-up episodes as we go deeper into the New Testament. I'll bring some of my brothers on, and we'll talk, and we're going to get some insight into how do we apply what we're hearing in the Word of God. I think that's the most important thing for us as men of God. Through this walk of sanctification, how are we applying the Scriptures that we know, the Scriptures that we're studying? And even, you know, as I always say, just a man who can recite and memorize Scripture is a one kind of man, but a man who lives out the Scripture that he knows in his heart is the mark of a true believer. Amen? Amen. So let's start. Like I said, I'm just going to give a couple of this episode for your edification, and then you might go back and study, and then again, I invite you to join us again every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. live, and during the week we do, we record different segments with different brothers because of scheduling conflict, but if you would like to join the discussion and be part of the discussion panel, I invite you to text me, reach out to me on the Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk, and we can give you the time and the day when we're doing recordings of our new episode. Amen? Amen. So let's begin. First is Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Jesus says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So this is the first command. He calls us to repent. That's right out the gate. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. The next, he gives the command. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. This is the call he's given to all of us. Follow him, and he'll make us fishers of men. That's the evangelism, that's the spreading of the gospel, that's to reach brothers, reach men, reach communities, reach our neighborhoods, that we will be fishers of men. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And he's talking to the people there because those who come to faith in him rejoice in your persecution. It's just in the Old Testament, in Israel's defiance, they persecuted all the prophets of God. And we in this New Testament, if we are standing on the word, uncompromised, and preaching the true gospel and bringing truth to people, we will be persecuted and reviled. People will come against what we believe. It's happening all over the culture about the Christian faith, about what we believe. And we have to stand fast and know that it's going to come in. And give an answer. I say this too. Give an answer for the hope within us. Because if we look to be affirmed and patted on the back by the world, don't have that expectation. Remember, they killed Jesus. And they killed 11 of the 12 apostles. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. Let your light shine before men, that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let our light shine. Let them see our good works. Again, our good works because of our faith. We're not working for our salvation, but our faith causes us to do good works. And that those good works, people see what we're doing, and it's up to us to tell people why we're doing what we're doing. It's because of Christ and what he's done for us. Because we have a lot of people who do a lot of good work, who don't believe in God. And they do it for recognition. They do it for a war. They do it for a lot of different things. But in the midst of the work we do, if it's feeding the homeless, if it's ministering to a drug addict, an alcoholic, bringing out clothes, we have to put the gospel in that somewhere. Yeah, because I can feed a person. I said this all the time. I said this before in different arenas. We can go out and reach people with clothes and food and do all these things, but if their soul still ends up in hell, have we fulfilled God's purpose? So that's why it's important that everything we do must be under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus and the God, and the Father, God the Father, is glorified in our work. So that must be part of what we do. When we go out with food, we need to go out with the Word of God, Bibles, tracts, devotionals, things that we, you know, we're doing, that we are planting a seed in the hearts and the minds of people, even as we meet their needs. Amen? Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Honor God's law. Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets, but I've come to I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all the law. All of the law that was given to Israel, the ceremonial law, their ethical law, their moral law, he came to fulfill it all. In him, he's the fulfillment of the law of God and how we should treat each other. Amen? So that's where we are, and that's where we should be. Amen? I have a couple more here and to share with you. I pray that you've written some of these down. I pray that you would take time and search out these scriptures and go do a deep, what I call a deep dive, to be able to understand, to be able to find a way to apply these scriptures to your life. Because, you know, some of these we've heard before, we've become accustomed to them. We might have read through the Sermon on the Mount. And then let's go back and let's deep dive it. And see, and then again, look at our lives. Look at how we're living. Look at how we live around it. Look at the men around us. Look at the men in your circle of influence. Look at the brothers in your church. How are we all living? Because again, we are called to be, you know, we are called to be encouragement, to be supportive, to hold each other accountable to the things of God. This is why being part of a church is so important, because if all you have to do is compare yourself to yourself and tell yourself how well you're doing, you might have a problem. But on the other hand of that, you can be in the midst of a crowd and no one knows you. So who knows you? Who knows your struggles, your challenges, your temptations? And who do you share that with? That they might pray for you and be able to pray with you and be able to help you through. Who do you go to when you're being tested beyond your physical, emotional, or mental ability? Who do you reach out to for support and encouragement? So these are the things that we have to consider. And that's why I say the importance of men's ministry, the importance of having men in your life on purpose, to be able to be connected no matter who you are, no matter how long you've been saved. And again, for the brothers out there, your local congregation, who are the men in that building? And do you know those men? Do you trust those men? Are you transparent with those men in your local congregation? Because if it doesn't stop there, then I don't really have an answer. Because, you know, why are you part of that church? Why are you part of that local congregation, that local gathering, that local fellowship, if you're not in true fellowship? I did a previous episode on that. Are we in true fellowship? These are the questions we must ask ourselves when we talk about the strength and the growth of the church, growing in the grace and knowledge of God together. And again, I mean, if you look at scripture, we look at disciples, we look at Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Titus. Paul talked about in his letters, those co-workers, those co-laborers with him, as he fulfilled God's purpose to be the apostle to the Gentiles, to take the gospel message out of Jerusalem and into the rest of the world. Amen? Amen. So again, we talk about the commandments of God. And this is where do we stop? We stopped at the honor of God's law. Amen. That was Matthew 5 and 17. I just have a couple more here I want to touch upon. And again, I pray that you would take the time out and read some of these. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse number 44 through 48. 44 to 48. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Hey, brothers, where are we at with that? It's too good. When I read that scripture too, I want us to understand. Some folk are going to come after us for Christ's sake, for who we are in Christ, and then some folk are going to come after us just for who we are because they're jealous and envious of us. It may not have to do with our faith. This may have to do with who we are and our circumstance in life, but how do we respond? Because the enemy can use anything to get to us, to be able to set us off and get us, or my pastor called, get us out of our character. Amen? Amen. Let's go down a little bit, and it goes, well, if we love them which love you, what reward ye have? Don't even the publicans do the same. And if you salute your brother only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans do so. But ye therefore are perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. So he's calling us to be perfect. That's in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 to 48. I just wanted to get a dead word because two things I'm going to touch on. Being perfect and loving our enemy. And that perfect, I challenge you to search out that word perfect, what that Greek word is, what that word, that meaning of that word is. We talk about Matthew chapter 5. Because he's calling us. It's a commandment of God to love our enemies and be perfect. Amen? Amen. So in that, I just encourage you, brothers, to search out who we are in Christ to see. Because if we love them, we'll keep his commandments. And these are just a few of the commandments he's given us. Again, I focused in on Matthew 4 and 5, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus just began to speak to the people in the first sermon. And again, these are the things, this is the measuring stick. This is how we measure ourselves of where we are in this Christian walk. So I just wanted to reach out to you and touch on those things. Again, we're going to continue to talk about this. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. This is Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can always call in at 646-668-2636. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. And you can listen to this rebroadcast of this show. And also the archive of all our past episodes of shows that we've been over the last 6 years. As a matter of fact, we're coming up on 7 years here soon. And I just want to encourage you, brothers, in your walk of faith, in your growth. Again, we just want to talk about growing in the faith and knowledge of God. Growing into who God created us to be as husbands, fathers, and sons, and obedient children to him, and co-laborers and inheritance that Jesus Christ has, that we might stand before him and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant, and serve him in his kingdom to come, and then when he comes back. So brothers, again, I could ask you to continue to pray for me. I continue to pray for you. I ask that you would also take the opportunity to share the link to the brothers in your circle of influence, those brothers you may be ministering to or reaching out to and evangelizing. These could be your talking points as you reach and help to grow someone else into the spiritual maturity or bring them to the place where they are converted. Because remember, Jesus said that we must be born again. Amen. So brothers, God bless you, and we'll talk to you next time. Love you.